We're indeed thankful for your presence. If you would, take your Bibles. Turn to Matthew, the 28th chapter. We want to look at Matthew's account of the Great Commission in just a few moments. But we want to thank you for being here. We realize that many of you are vacationing in this beautiful part of God's creation. We're thankful for you coming out. We want you to know that you encourage us by your presence here today. We pray that in some small way we can encourage you spiritually, and we pray that you will have a safe journey back to your home area and your home congregation. We're going to be talking about this morning what Jesus taught in regard to discipleship. And in the Bible, the word disciple is often used to refer to one who is a follower of Jesus. But a disciple, as defined in the Scripture, actually means a student, a learner, a pupil. So keep that thought in mind as we begin to study God's Word. Of course, Jesus desires for all men to be His disciples, but we realize discipleship is determined by each of us individually. We make a choice whether we will strive to humbly submit to the Lord, or whether we will reject and rebel against the will of God. Note what Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority," or "all power," as some translations might have, "has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples," or "teach all nations." But I like the way that it's used in many of the translations, where it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them," the disciples, "to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, Jesus desires for all to be His disciples, but all will not become disciples, because discipleship requires commitment. And we're going to see that in our lesson today. And the purpose of our lesson is for us to come to a greater understanding of everything that is involved in being a true disciple of Christ. Because if someone asked you if you were a Christian, if you were a disciple of Christ, you would reply in the affirmative. But a lot of people would reply in the affirmative. But what really is a disciple? That's what we want to look at from the Scripture this morning. What is truly involved in you and me being disciples of Christ? So take your Bibles and open your Bibles and follow along, and we'll look at the Scriptures, and hopefully we can come to an understanding of what God's Word teaches and what Jesus taught in regard to discipleship. Well, a disciple is one who follows Jesus. And the invitation that Jesus often gave to people was in that regard, to follow Him. Turn over to the book of Matthew, the 4th chapter, into Matthew chapter 4. We can read there in verse 19. It says, this is as Jesus is beginning His ministry. Verse 17 says, "And from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And what did He invite them to do? It says, 'Then He said to them, Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" So the invitation of Jesus to those who would become his apostles was to do what? To follow Him. But now we're going to notice in regard to them following Him, it says they were fishermen. They were casting their net in the sea. What did they have to leave behind? They left their occupation behind. And we're going to see that they made great sacrifices in regard to their commitment to follow Him and to be His disciple. Turn over to the Gospel of John. In John, the 12th chapter, in verse 26, and I want us to note something in regard to serving Christ, in regard to being a disciple of Christ. In John 12 and verse 26, Jesus states, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my father will honor." So here Jesus says, if we are going to be a disciple, if we are going to be a learner, if we're going to be a student, if we're going to be one of his pupils, if we're going to follow him, then we need to understand it's going to involve a life of service. But there are a lot of people who want to claim they're a disciple of Christ, they're a follower of Christ, they're a pupil of Christ, they're a learner of Christ, they're a student of Christ, but they don't want to have anything to do with serving the Lord. As the least I can get by with, that's what I want to offer to the Lord. Well, that's not what true discipleship is, and how it's described for us in the Scripture. So we cannot today possibly serve Christ without following him. And we have to have a heart willing to serve him, which means we have to have humility, because I have to be willing and you have to be willing to submit your will to the will of the Father. Go over to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew, the 16th chapter. And let's look there beginning in verses 24 through verse 27. It says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works." To be a true disciple, we must be willing to not only just say, "Well, oh yeah, I'll follow you." We have to deny ourselves. We have to take up our cross, and we have to be willing to follow him. So a true disciple who is going to faithfully follow the Lord, there's going to be some sacrifice involved in it. There's going to be some commitment on your part. There's going to be some things that we have to give up in this life in order to faithfully be a true disciple of the Lord. Turn over to the book of Luke. Turn to Luke, the 9th chapter in the Gospel of Luke, and look at what is recorded there in verse 57 beginning, down through verse 62. It says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.'" Now, for those of us who are Christians, I want you to understand that when we confess the name of Christ before we were baptized, do you know what we were doing? We were pledging our loyalty, our allegiance to Jesus, that we would follow him, that we would do whatever he instructs us to do in his life. And so he said, someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." Well, how did Jesus reply? But Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." And he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand in the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, another thing I want us to notice is there were those who said they were willing to follow Jesus, but they used this phrase, "Let me first." And we could be disciples of Christ And we could be saying, Lord, I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you, but let me first. Let me first get my education. Let me first get my family started. Let me first get my children raised. Let me get my children through college. Let me first retire. Let me at some time, I'm going to be your disciple, Lord, but let me first do all these things. See, we've got to be careful, brethren. We have to be careful. And we need to be aware of following Jesus. Just because we proclaim to follow Jesus does not mean we follow him as we are instructed to do in the scripture. Let's look at an example. Look in Luke, the 22nd chapter, and verse 54. Luke 22 and verse 54. And this is where Jesus is being betrayed, where Jesus is being arrested, and Peter comes along, and he follows Jesus. Let's look at what is stated there in verse 24. It says, having arrested him, speaking of Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. Listen to this. But Peter followed at a distance. Isn't that what? If we're honest, isn't that what we sometimes do, brethren, as disciples of Christ? We're following Christ, but it's at a distance. Well, what was the outcome of that for Peter? Not very good, right? And what did Peter later realize? He needed to follow Christ and he needed to be as close to him and his teachings as he possibly could be. See, that should be our desire in our lives. We need to realize that following Jesus always involves a sacrifice. And that's what Jesus taught. If you go to Matthew, the 19th chapter, and you look at verse 21... Jesus was speaking to a young man about keeping the commandments of life, and the young man said, which one? And Jesus said, well, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, you shall love your neighbors yourself. The young man said to him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What do I still lack? And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, brethren, what Jesus was trying to teach him, if you're going to follow me, there's going to be sacrifice involved. And see, we can look and we can see that, and that he wasn't willing to sacrifice. But what about us in our lives? You know, there's some things we're going to have to sacrifice if we are going to follow Jesus. Following Jesus, being a true disciple, involves sacrifice. On every one of our parts, we will have to sacrifice. Well, also, Jesus taught us in regard to discipleship that a disciple will be a learner. Turn over to Matthew, the 11th chapter, in verses 28 through 30, and Jesus here extends an invitation to be his disciple. But notice what it requires. He says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and lowly in hearts, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus' own invitation to be his disciple requires learning. It requires learning on your part. It requires learning on my part. We have to remember that a disciple is a learner. And learning is at the heart of being a truly effective disciple. Think about your job. Most people, before they started a job, had some type of training. When you began that job, you were not very experienced, right? But as you continued in that job, you gained more and more experience. You had learning experiences, right? To now, you've been doing that job 20, 25, 30. You're pretty good at that job. You're pretty good at that job in regard to what you are doing because you have learned. You've learned by experience. And that's what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to remember that being a disciple is learning. And we learn by experience. And learning is at the heart of being a disciple. And the more we learn, the older we are, the more experienced we become, the better disciple we should be. The better disciple we should become. And we are to learn about Jesus. To know Him. To have an understanding of His knowledge. Of His will in our lives. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 verses 1 through 5. Paul wanted the disciples at Philippi to understand this about Christ. He says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and joy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Notice what he says in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have to learn as disciples. We have to learn to think like Christ thought. That's not always easy for us, is it? But that's something that we have to learn. We need to learn to take on the mind of Christ. We have to learn to look to Him. Look in Philippians, the third chapter, verse 8. It says, yet indeed, I count all things lost. This is Paul speaking here by inspiration to these brethren. It says, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. What did Paul want to learn more about and know more about Christ Jesus my Lord? He says, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. You see, we have to have that same desire, brethren, to obtain the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. It's available to us, but we have to have the desire to be a learner. To desire to obtain that knowledge. And once we obtain that knowledge, then we have to put that knowledge into practice. That's the difficult part. It's really not that difficult for us to learn and have, you know, just book knowledge. To know what the book says, to know how to go about. But it's different to apply that knowledge in our lives and in all the choices that we make, right? Well, look what Paul wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 3. And verse 14, he says, and let our people also learn to maintain good works. What? I thought as Christians, we just automatically know good works. No, we have to learn about good works. And then the difficult part is to learn to maintain good works. That means practice them. Put them into use. In our lives, learn to maintain these good works. Go over to the book of Jeremiah. Listen to what the prophet has to say in Jeremiah the 9th chapter, in verses 23 and 24. The prophet says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, says the Lord. See, we need the glory that we understand and know the Lord. We know the mind of Christ. We're seeking to have that same type of mind guide us in our life. That's what the prophet was speaking about in regard to the people. Well, Jesus also taught in regard to discipleship is that a disciple is one who will obey. If we go back to Matthew, the 28th chapter, and verse 20, the last part of that Great Commission. Sometimes we just kind of skip over that, but you know, they were to go and they were to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Note what the disciples were taught. To observe all things whatsoever he had commanded them. Did all disciples during the life of Jesus, did all disciples do that? Did all disciples do all the things that he commanded? No. Why would Jesus have said in Luke 6:46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Why would he have said that if every disciple was doing everything he instructed? So this can be a problem. It was a problem for disciples in that day and time. It can be a problem for us. And I think sometimes obedience is a problem for us because we have the wrong attitude toward obedience. We should view obedience to Jesus Christ as the Son of God a privilege. It's a privilege to be here this morning. It's a privilege to worship God in spirit and truth. It's a privilege to honor Christ and to remember His body, His blood that was offered and sacrificed on our behalf. That is a privilege. But is that the way we always view it? Well, I know I got to show up Sunday morning. If I don't show up, someone's going to call me. Check on me. Well, we need to have the attitude of it's a privilege. Turn over to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And look there at verse 8. Psalm 40 in verse 8. And the psalmist here, being David, says, I delight to do your will, O God, O my God. I delight to do your will, O my God. Should a disciple delight to do the will of God? The answer is yes. A disciple should delight to do the will of my God. He says, your law is written within my heart. Now, what does that say? That's saying that we've taken God's word, we stored it up in our heart. The Bible heart is our mind. We've stored that word up in our mind. Remember when Jesus was tempted? How did he reply? It is written. What did he do with the word? He stored it up in his heart. He knew how to react, see, in that situation. And we need to know how to react as disciples. And the disciple in obedience is important. But we need to make sure, in regard to our obedience, that we're always in line with obeying God. Not allowing the pressures of this world, the pressures that man and society place on us, to begin to obey men instead of God. Go to Acts the 5th chapter and look at verses 28 and 29. It says, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? Speaking about the name of Jesus. And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. See, Peter's following a little closer now, isn't he? Not quite at that distance he was at one time in his life. See, as disciples, we should be drawing nearer and nearer to God, to obeying God, and to realize that that is a privilege. And we have an example of what happens of when people choose to disobey God. I'll go over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews the 3rd chapter, and look at verse 16 there, and we'll read down through verse 19. Says, for who, is speaking of the children of Israel, for who having heard rebelled, indeed was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? With whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see they cannot enter in because of unbelief. And brethren, if the children of Israel couldn't enter into the promised land because of unbelief, do we think as disciples of Christ that we're going to be able to enter into the glory of heaven if we do not believe? It's not going to happen. We don't need to kid ourselves. We don't need to fool ourselves in regard to our discipleship. Our discipleship is directly connected to obedience. And disobedience severs that relationship with Christ, where we're no longer having fellowship with Him. Note what the Scriptures state in Hebrews 5 and verse 9. I don't know if God could have made it any plainer for us when He said, "And having been perfected, He," speaking of Jesus, "became the author of eternal salvation to all," and that's where the world wants it to stop. Well, He's the author of eternal salvation to all. It says, "to all who obey Him." Who obey Him? If as a disciple we fail to obey Jesus, we need to understand salvation is not possible for us without obedience to Jesus. We cannot be forgiven of our sins and perfected by the blood of Christ without obedience. We cannot continue to serve as a disciple without obedience. Obedience is something that is demanded of us. Well, also, when Jesus in His teaching in regard to discipleship taught that a disciple of Jesus will imitate Him. We will look to Christ as our great example, as our great teacher, and we will strive to follow Him. Listen to what Peter wrote by inspiration, recorded in 1 Peter chapter 2. There in verse 21 beginning, I'm going to read down through verse 25. It says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who when He was reviled did not revile in return, when He suffered He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul." Here, Peter says that Christ is our example and that we should follow His steps. As disciples of Christ, whose steps are you following? Can we truly and honestly say that we are striving to follow and walk in the footsteps of Jesus? Not just right now. Might say, "Yeah, I'm here at services. I'm going to partake of the Lord's Supper." I'm talking about when we walk outside these four walls here. Are we following that example in our life? Whose example are we striving to imitate? Note what John wrote in his epistle in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. And here John states by inspiration, "He who says he abides in Him," in other words, we say we abide in Christ, "ought himself also to walk just as He walked." Just as He walked. That's pretty powerful now. That's what we're striving to do. To walk just as He walked. Who did Paul want the Christians at Ephesus? Who did he want them to imitate? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Look there, Ephesians chapter 5, at verses 1 and 2. And Paul said, "Therefore..." He's talking to Christians. He's talking to disciples. "Therefore, you disciples at Ephesus, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling aroma." So imitate God, walk in love just as Christ did. That's what Paul wanted for the disciples, for the Christians at Ephesus. What did Jesus teach us? What did he strive to teach those who were his disciples while he was here on earth? Turn over to John, the 13th chapter. And we know in John chapter 13, there had been an argument among the disciples about who would be greatest in the kingdom, who was going to sit at the right hand, who was going to sit at the left hand. And Jesus teaches them a lesson in regard to humility. But he also teaches us a lesson. And notice what he says there in verse 15. After he has gone through this process of washing their feet, he says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." See, a lot of times the reason we have problem with discipleship is we don't do as Jesus did to them. We don't have enough humility to wash someone's feet. We don't want to do the dirty work. We want someone else to do that. So we have to be willing to participate and follow the example of Jesus. Note what Matthew taught in Matthew, the 10th chapter, there in verses 24 and 25. And Jesus there records, Matthew there records Jesus' words. He says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master." What did Jesus want his disciples to do? To strive to be like him. Jesus is the master. He's the greatest teacher that ever lived. He's the greatest example we could ever follow. And we're striving to be like him. We might not get there, because we don't live perfect lives. But that's our example. That's what we're striving to attain. We need to set our sights on Jesus and being his disciples, striving to be like him. Who did Paul imitate? Turn over to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. And Paul said, "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." Now, who did Paul imitate? He imitated Christ. So other people were going to be able to look up to Paul and his example, because Paul was trying to be a true disciple, a follower of Christ, and imitate him. That's what we need to strive to be doing, is to imitate Christ, so then others can see that we're a good example, and that might encourage them to imitate Christ also. That's what Paul wanted. That's what we should desire also. Well, hopefully, just looking at these few things, hopefully we understand a little bit better what's involved in the term being a disciple or discipleship. Hopefully we have a little better grasp of it, and how it actually applies to us individually. And we have to ask ourselves the question, are we being a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Not just that we say we are a disciple, but are we actually in our actions displaying that we are a disciple? See, to follow Christ as a disciple involves sacrifice. And that's the reason a lot of people don't want to get involved. It involves sacrifice. Remember the guy who was rich? What do I need to do, Lord? Well, go sell everything. No, I'm not willing to do that. See, being a disciple is going to involve sacrifice on our part. And one thing for sure, the reason a lot of people fail at being disciples is because they haven't really counted the cost of real discipleship. Have you counted the cost of real discipleship? It's going to involve some commitment. It's going to involve some sacrifice. It's going to involve some hard work on our part. But just as important as that question is, have you counted the cost of not being a disciple? Wow. Remember what Jesus said, Matthew 16:26, For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? See, the cost of not being a disciple is you're going to lose your soul. And for those of us who are disciples, we need to be striving to be faithful servants of God. And if we're failing in that area, then we need to repent. And we need to make that right with the Lord right now, today. You can do that where you sit. If you desire for us to pray with you or for you, we will be glad to do that. If you realize you are not a disciple of Christ, you are not a follower, you are not a believer, you are not a student, you are not a learner, you need to become one today. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." You don't have to live a life of sin and be separated eternally from God because you die in your sins. You can receive the forgiveness of your sins and you can begin to follow the Lord today. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, and being willing to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If we can aid you or assist you in any way, make that need known while we stand and while we sing.